I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. When the Arab Spring protests reached Bahrain, the tiny Gulf Kingdom cracked down hard. Since February, when the first demonstrations began, at least 35 people have died. Bahraini security forces have detained many more protesters. A few of them have been put on trial, including the doctors and hospital nurses accused of treating wounded protesters but refusing to treat government supporters. Some protesters claim that they've been tortured in detention. Human rights groups say five people have died in government custody. The BBC's Frank Gardner was recently in Bahrain, and he says what's transpiring defies simple explanation.
The situation in Bahrain is quite complex. The international media have made the mistake, I think, of trying to apply the same rules having come straight from Egypt and Tunisia to Bahrain, thinking protesters good, government bad. It's not quite as simple as that. The protesters do not speak for the whole country. They have legitimate grievances. The Shiites are underrepresented. They are discriminated against. There has been abuse. But there is a very sizable large part of the country who don't sympathize with the protesters, who see them as troublemakers supported by Iran. And they fear that if the protesters got their way, the Sunni-led monarchy would be overthrown and you'd have Tehran on the Arabian side of the Gulf. Now, that's probably an exaggeration, but that is the fears of the Sunni community there. So set in that context, there is now an investigation going on, ordered by the king, King Hamad, into all these thousands of alleged human rights abuses.
Does that mean that those people who are not showing up protesting, that they approve of or at least condone the government treatment of many of these protesters?
A lot of the people I spoke to who support the government don't believe the alleged human rights abuses. They think that they have been invented or exaggerated by the opposition, which is a slightly head-in-the-sand attitude, because there's no question in my mind. I've seen the bodies of some people who've died in police custody, or one person. You know, there has been abuse committed by often non-Bahrainis working for the Bahraini police, who the opposition call the mercenaries. These are Yemenis, Jordanians, Syrians. The king is essentially a good guy who is appalled by this. He's not necessarily the most powerful person in the land anymore. There is a rather strong, hard core within the ruling family who doesn't really want any kind of concession to the protesters. And I think some of the policemen in the detention centres are getting a subliminal message from strong people in the government: do what you need to do.
So, Frank, you were allowed to visit at least one of these detention centers where some of the alleged abuses of protesters occurred. Tell us what you saw.
Well, I was allowed to visit what's called Al Hura Police Station, which is the largest police station in the capital. Rather, as I suspected, it wasn't exactly the belly of the beast. It was a squeaky clean, very modern police station. The prisoners that I met were nearly all common criminals, convicted of things or accused of things nothing to do with the uprising. I did manage to speak to one man who said he'd been beaten. All the others said they'd been well treated. But nevertheless, this was the first time the international media had been allowed inside a detention centre, and it gave me a glimpse. We also were able to get around the country unescorted. We went to a Shiite village and I interviewed one of the doctors on trial there, Dr. Fatima Haji. She says she was actually tortured and intimidated and threatened by a female interrogator while in prison.
She was slapping me for 30 minutes, right and left and right and left. Then they told me, "We know where your son is going. You think he's safe? He's not safe. We can get him anytime." And at that time, I just broke down. Tell them, "Please stop. I'll do anything you want, just stop."
Well, not surprisingly, she signed the confession, which she says was extracted under duress and that she's not really guilty of anything. Sunnis don't believe that, Shiites do. It's a sign of just how sectarianly divided Bahrain is. This Human Rights Commission has heard over 8,800 complaints, some of which will be genuine, some of which will not be. They've had over 5,700 interviews. And it's headed by five commissioners with great experience of investigating human rights abuses in places like Iraq, the Balkans. They're no fools. They've been pretty thorough. When they come out with their findings on October the 30th, this really is going to be a watershed. The US Congress, for example, is going to be taking a very close look at this human rights report, because that will impact on the US decision of whether or not to go ahead with $50 plus million worth of arms sales to Bahrain.
That's the BBC's Frank Gardner in London speaking to us about what is a very complex situation in Bahrain right now. He was recently there and went to a police detention facility.